You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. We're live on the air with SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. When we go off the air, we have prayer meeting. We pray fervent for America, and we pray for everybody and everything. However, on the first Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m., do come. There's something different. I offer LOL. I have lots of love for you. No, that's not sex rated. Or X-rated, I should say, okay. But what I do then, I'm not on the air that first Wednesday, but what I do, we want people to come from everywhere. We have the holy bench, Scott versus on one side, I'm on the other. I pray for everybody who comes one by one, individually, with a laying on of hands. We have a segment of healing. Bring your sick loved ones, God still heals. Almost anything you can name, I've had, and God heals me. So you can be healed too. And then we have a segment for deliverance from drugs, from alcohol, and from pornography, even cigarettes. Now, don't judge yourself. We don't judge you. Don't be ashamed. Come and be delivered. God loves you, and I love you. And there, but for the grace of God, go all of us.
Amen.
And then, lastly, we save the best for the last. The Holy Spirit often moves through this humble handmaiden in the gifts of Holy Spirit. He chooses when to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So everybody gets to come up one by one, and the Holy Spirit will pray for you whatever he wants to pray for you, and sometimes it is language with interpretation. Now, this is every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Everybody in the world is also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. I am in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there. You'll see a sign. Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. As the curtain comes up on 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, young David has been anointed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God has chosen him to be the second man king of Israel, but it's not quite time. Young David goes back to his dad Jesse's house and takes care of the sheep. He is being trained to reign. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, David is your type. David is your type. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says, these things happen to these people in the Bible for an example or type to admonish us, to encourage us who are the end of the age. Now, you've heard a man say about a woman, she's not my type. You've heard a woman say about a man, he's not my type. Now, David is a type of Jesus, and I know Jesus is your type.
Amen.
Yeah. Therefore, David is your type.
Verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul.
Now, remember that King Saul had actually the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was anointed, but he had rejected God, and now God has rejected him. As young David would grow up and get married and go older, he would say to his son Solomon, if you seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find him. But if you forsake the Lord, he will forsake you forever. So you see, one can have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and move away from that and be rejected by God.
And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him.
Now, that translation is not quite correct. God is Holy Spirit. He never makes us sin, so he doesn't send evil spirits. However, you can be a Christian. You can be led by the Holy Spirit. But if you choose to move away and reject the Holy Spirit, which is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, God will remove his protective wings. He's our great eagle, and then you will not be protected anymore. And that opens doors for the devil, and then he sends his evil spirits to you.
Verse 15, and Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Verse 16, let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee, seek out a man who is a cunning player on the harp. And it shall come to pass, when an evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well.
Cunning means skillful. A harp is a musical instrument with strings. If I took this bottom board off my piano, you would see a harp, and there are strings. If I play a note on the piano, if you could see into the spiritual realm, a beautiful color would come up. All the musical alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, has a color about it, but it's in the spiritual realm. But when I play a note, it would cause a vibration on the harp strings, and that would release an energy which produces a sound, and sound produces movement. If I play quite a few of notes harmoniously, there would be this most wonderful peace that would come. If I play discordant notes, those strings would vibrate and bring anxiety, and demons could come in. Why is music used here in a spiritual way? Because Jesus is the chief musician. Many of the Psalms have a subscription to the chief musician. That's Jesus. He has the victory. He gives the victory. But don't forget that Lucifer, in the world that then was, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, was also a great musician. His pipes made music. And so now that he has fallen, while Jesus has the right kind of music for his church, for his people, for his Christians, they are beautiful, and they will bring you peace, and they'll even heal you, music therapy. But Satan has brought his music into Christians. Just because it says Jesus doesn't mean it's not the devil. He's brought it into the church. 75% of the music in the church today is not of God. It is of the devil. And Christians do not know that. When I had my school, one of the major subjects I taught was music. And I would use it to help people. I'm very aware of people's problems. And there was a wonderful mother. She came. She had two of her children, a boy and a girl, who studied with me. And she said, Sherry, before I drop them off, they're fighting like cats and dogs in the car, screaming at each other, mine, mine, mine. And she said, I come and pick them up. She said, that's so sweet and nice. I said, where are my children? And I said, music therapy. Music calms a savage beast. A husband of a woman I taught said, I want to thank you, Sherry. I don't know what you're doing there, but my wife suffers from depression. When she leaves her music lesson, she's just so happy. I said, music calms the savage beast.
Verse 17, and Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me.
Now, this is good of Saul. He knows he's being tormented by demons. He did have the Holy Spirit. He knows that. He knows this is not of God. Some people know they're tormented by demons, and some people do not know. Even Christians can be tormented by demons because you open the door by what you look at, what you say, what you hear, where you go, and the people with whom you associate. Now, we always welcome everybody in here. Sinners, welcome. We want you to come. People with demons, we want you to come. On that first Wednesday of every month, come on with your demons. We're not afraid of them. But sometimes people don't know. Some do. Our own beloved Mark South, who's in heaven now, who was struggling to overcome drugs and alcohol, he told me, and he told Scott, he said, I am tormented by demons. So you see, if you know you're tormented by demons, come and let us help you. Jesus told us to cast them out. And then you'd be like David.
Verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing.
Oh, here comes David. Now, Proverbs 18 says, A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. David's been using that gift to soothe his sheep, to praise God, to worship God. A gift, first of all, edifies yourself. But every gift that you have, every talent you have, is not yours to keep. Nothing that God gives you is yours to keep. It is yours to give away to bless other people. He will give you some more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he gives supernatural manifestations of gifts. All of those gifts will edify you. But then they are used to edify others. So, you're not to keep your gift to yourself, you're to give it away.
And a mighty valiant man.
David is a mighty valiant man. David is your type. Valiant means courageous. I mean, he's out there, a young shepherd boy, and a lion and a bear grabs one of his little sheep. Courageously, he takes a bear by the neck and gets that lamb out of his paws. He kills that lion and snatches his lamb away from them. That takes courage. It takes courage to get out of the boat and do what God tells you to do. It took courage for Peter to get out of the boat. The others did not have any courage. They stayed in their comfort zone.
Amen.
David is your type. It's time for you to be courageous and get up and be what God tells you to be.
Amen.
And a man of war.
David was a man of war. He killed a lion. He killed a bear. And that little song David plays on your harp, he's going to kill Goliath. He's a man of war. David is your type. You're in a spiritual warfare, whether you like it or not.
Yep.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, I didn't come to make peace, I came to make war. Jesus is truth. When you dump truth in a pack of lies, you got war. We are in spiritual warfare.
Amen.
I wish our politicians knew it.
Amen.
It cannot be
Amen.
Solved by voting. It cannot be solved by Democrats or Republicans. It can only be solved by us, the body of Christ, fighting in spiritual warfare.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus made war on demons. He would cast them out. Get out, he'd say, and they would go. You are supposed to be like David, like Jesus. David's type, you are supposed to cast out demons. That friend, that loved one of yours on drugs and alcohol and pornography, you're supposed to make war. That's demons. Drugs is a demon. Alcohol is a demon. Pornography is a demon. Instead, you don't war. You say, go to Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, if you can't walk on water, take a boat. But that's not what you're supposed to do. You are supposed to cast out those demons in the name of Jesus. Be David's type. Jesus made war on sickness. Did you know sickness is not from God? That doesn't mean you're evil. It doesn't even mean you have got a demon. But the devil comes to steal and kill
Amen.
And destroy.
Amen.
Some of you are not fighting sickness at all. You just roll over. You just roll over. You just roll over. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Sickness is a curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for curse is everyone that hangs on a tree. Sickness is a curse. Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses are about the blessings. But get to verse 15 to the end of the chapter, we got the curses, and Christ has redeemed you from those. What are they? Fever. Did you know that fever is a curse of the law? And some of you are not resisting that at all. It attacks me about every day of my life because I pray for everybody. They got it, it jumps on me. What you do, you say, Mama, I got the fever. I got to go to bed. Well, go to bed if you must. To redeem from fever. Deuteronomy 28, inflammation is a curse of the law. Some of you are the sound of my voice. Have fever, have inflammation. You're not a sinner. You just didn't know. You're redeemed from that. You're redeemed from inflammation. You just didn't know it. You rolled over and thought, oh, get the pill, get the doctor, go to bed. And a curse of the law is a virus. A plague is a virus. COVID, fever, inflammation, virus is a curse of the law. From the first moment they said, Holy Spirit said, demon. Every sickness that comes upon you, please don't think I don't care. Every day of my life, they attack me. You have no idea how I fight to get out here. But if you notice, I get here.
Amen. Amen.
But so can you. You are not fighting the fever, children. You're not fighting inflammation, men and women. And you're definitely not fighting the virus. You're to fight cancer. It is a demon. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You're supposed to be war on those things.
And prudent in knowledge.
Prudent in knowledge means wise, discreet, using good judgment. Prudent. It's a good word. Everybody say prudent.
Prudent.
The Bible says the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. And Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Fear means to love and respect. Jesus is the Lord, but the Bible is the Lord. He is the Word. If you want to be wise, everything that you need about your fever, your inflammation, your cancer, your virus, your money, your relationship, your job, eternal life is in the instruction book. Be prudent. And he says in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That is wise. And Jesus says to be wiser than servants and harmless as dove. Prudent also means discreet. This means you have discernment of spirits. Be like David. He's wise. He's discreet. David will know when he gets before Saul, when there are demons coming on Saul, or when it's just soul, and they will know what to do. Discernment of spirits. See, some of you say, pray for me, Sherry, and I love you, and I do. The larger bulk of my ministry is praying every day. You have no idea. Thousands and thousands of people by name, by the Holy Spirit. But see, a lot of times you call me to pray or come up here to pray, and the Holy Spirit will say, that's not the problem. It seems that way. It seems like it's your stomach's out of order, but the Holy Spirit will say it's a mindset that has made a stronghold in you of some remark from your childhood or some incident there. And then that's like a demonic force that I have to cast it out. Do you understand?
Yes.
See, that's so important. And so we don't know how to pray for people unless we have that discernment of spirits. Now, prudent is also good judgment. And we're going to find that David is going to use good judgment, because when he goes before Saul, he's not going to say, "Hey, Saul, I'm going to be the king in your stead." No. He knows when to keep his mouth shut. To prudent.
You have comely appearance.
David was very handsome. Comely means beautiful. But the reason he was handsome on the outside is because his heart was beautiful. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Amen. If you're pure, if you're clean, if everything about you you've given up and given to Jesus, you are beautiful. Do people see the beauty of Jesus in you? They don't see the outer. Do they see beauty in you? How you forgive, how you give, how you love, how you sacrifice everything. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you.
And the Lord is with him.
The Lord was with David. You want to be like David, he's your type, because he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit anoints you. He covers you. The anointing means that Jesus paints himself on you. You see my front door there? There's a beautiful burgundy paint on the door. The paint and the door are one. And when you come in, you just see a door. Now, demons know when there's an anointing. David is your type. You have power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Only until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit can you be anointed. And then you have power. And then, when demons come to you, they do not see you. The anointing means Jesus paints himself on you. It's like, whoa, there's Jesus. Lots of time, people will come in here, piggyback with demons. I love them. I welcome you. They'll try to sit quiet for a while, but they get scared because the anointing's all over this place and on me.
Amen.
After a while, we start praying. They'll start wiggling. You'll hear a noise. They'll drop something. They'll bump something out of the door. They go. It's almost comical, except we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It never frightens me. I know what it is. Demons know. They think the anointing is Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus and his disciples went across the lake to Gennesaret. A man there was running around naked. People tried to chain him, but he'd break the chains. And he was filled with a legion of demons. The demons had taken over, and they saw Jesus, and they said, now these are demons, "Jesus, thou Son of God, we know thee who thou art. Art thou come to torment us before the time?" Demons know they have an expiration date. At the great white throne judgment, they would all go to the lake of fire and be gone. So they were saying, "Is it time? Is it time? Is it time?" Now see, demons know when you're anointed. You want to be that type. David's that type. Why? Because you can cast them out.
Amen.
You know that's not the person. You know the alcohol and drugs and pornography and demons. And they recognize you and you have power over them.
Yeah.
And lost people know when you're anointed. Lost people come to Jesus. They weren't the seed of Abraham. But they would say to help. Jesus would help. In my school, people came from every walk of life, every race, every ethnic background, every religion. And I love them all. There was a beautiful young woman of the Hindu religion. My heart went out to her. They have many gods, but they're afraid of their gods. She was so afraid that she was terrified all the time. Before she came to my school, before she would come, she thought there were my gods, her gods, her demon gods, all out there. And one day she came early, and I happened to be on the telephone. A man who had lost his wife, she had passed away, called me. He was grieving and crying and needed prayer. And I was praying for him with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's no need to pray if you don't have the anointing. There's no need to teach unless you have the anointing. I saw her come in the door and I beckoned her, but I finished the prayer. Now this is a Hindu woman, knows nothing of Jesus, Holy Spirit. Her eyes got this big. Sherry, God is all over you. She doesn't know Jesus. She doesn't know the Holy Spirit. Lost people know if you're David's type. David had the anointing, if you're anointed. And that's your advantage. Be David's type. Because then you can witness to them. And the anointing will cause them to receive Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Saved people know when you're anointed. Look at all the people that would come to Jesus and they would say, Jesus, save us. Saved people know that. Our beautiful friend Laura over here, many years ago, her wonderful husband Jim moved to heaven. Laura had just come to my school and gotten saved, and she asked me to do the eulogy. And I was so glad to do it because I love her and love her daughter Melissa and I love Jim. The place we had it was packed. Most of the people I did not know. They were Jim's friends and people who worked with Laura at Kennedy Space Center. So I got up there. I would not teach if I didn't have the Holy Spirit. I myself do nothing. The Father then he doeth the work. The Holy Spirit came. And when I finished, we went into a side room for some food. Before I could get food, I got cornered by a man. He wouldn't move. And he said, Sherry, you're anointed. Pray for this. Sherry, you're anointed. Pray for that. Sherry, you're anointed. Pray for that. He was a pastor. Laura told me later. He saw the anointing. He had problems. He wanted me to pray there. So see, that's David's type. Look at the people you could help. You could cast out demons. You could get lost people saved. And you could help other Christians if you had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The anointing destroys the yoke.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 19. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep.
Now somebody had told King Saul that David took care of the sheep. David loved those sheep. He got the bugs out. He anointed them with oil. He would drag them out of the mouths of lions and bears. He would sing to them and feed them and give them water and make sure they were safe. David was a shepherd boy. David is your type. Everybody in the body of Christ is a sheep. You're a sheep. I'm a sheep. We're like the many-membered body of Christ. Paul gives us that metaphor. Look at your body. Jesus is the head. And look at your body, the many-membered body of Christ. But every part of your body is like a sheep. Sometimes your foot, that part of your body, needs the help of your hands to massage it or whatever. David is your type. Sheep, take care of the other sheep. Jesus said to love one another. He said to cry with one another. When you hear one crying, do you do anything? Cry with them. Encourage one another. Bear one another's burdens. Every sheep is responsible for the rest of the sheep. If all of us would cry with those who cry, the hearts would not be so broken. That person you meet, talk to, and don't forget your pastor is a sheep. When's the last time you knew somebody needed encouragement and you picked up the phone and said, I want to tell you that I love you. I want to tell you, I feel you crying. You can't take it anymore. When did you cry with them? When did you hold them? And the Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We have to take care of each other emotionally, physically. If they need something, we have it in our hand, we give it. When you go and pick up that other side, it lifts up. It might not solve the problem, but it makes it easier.
Amen.
Sheep, take care of the sheep.
Amen.
That's David's type. Be like David.
Verse 20. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul.
Now, Jesse knows, David knows, and King Saul knows that these three ingredients are a symbol of the Messiah that would come through the seed of David. We know he came, Jesus. Jesus is the bread of heaven. He gave his body 39 stripes that we might be healed. The wine is the blood. Jesus shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And Jesus is a kid. A kid can be a lamb, or a kid can be a goat. Jesus is both. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. But Jesus is also a goat, the scapegoat. The children of Israel in the Mosaic Law would gather together for a day of atonement, and they would get a goat, a scapegoat. They would place their hands and confess their sins on the goat. The goat would be going to the wilderness and die. And Jesus died for our sins. Jesse the Father sends the bread, the wine, and the kid through David to King Saul. God the Father sent Jesus through the lineage of David of the tribe of Judah to all of us who are saved. Revelation 1, we are all kings and priests.
Amen.
Think on that.
Amen.
Verse 21, and David came to Saul and stood before him.
Stood is a military term. It means I'm standing at attention. I'm here to serve you. Now David has been serving God and serving the sheep. But you see, he had to get out of his comfort zone. He had to get away from Jesse, and he's going to serve now. David's type, you want to be like that. You need to get out of your comfort zone. Some of you have been sitting there too long. Oh, yeah, you pray. Oh, yeah, you go to church. Oh, yeah, you read your Bible. I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. You don't ever win souls. You don't serve the other sheep. You don't give your life away. You don't receive the baptism so you can really know how to help people. It's time for you to get out of your comfort zone. You know there's more. It's another level. There's a new level of praying. There's a new level of giving. There's a new level of living. There's a new level of serving. And Jesus said, he is greatest. The kingdom of heaven will be served of all. Hallelujah.
Yeah, amen.
David is your type.
And he loved him greatly.
Saul loved David because Saul was tormented by the demons. And when David would play his little harp, the demons would leave. Everybody loves a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. That's David's type. That's your type.
And he became his armor bearer.
Oh, my Lord. An armor bearer has a shield to protect the king, a sword to fight off the enemies. Wow, did he trust him? Be David's type. Every one of you sheep, and why this sheep? We are called to be an armor bearer of the other sheep. We go before the Father's throne in the name of Jesus, praying by the baptism and anointing of the Holy Spirit. I will bear the other sheep before God, crying for them, praying for them, loving them, bearing them up to God. We pray for them much more than for our four and ourselves. We finally don't even pray for ourselves anymore. We are armor bearers. Be like David. That's David type. That's your type. An intercessory prayer is one of the greatest ministries. Nobody says thank you. Nobody gives you money. Nobody hugs you. I mean, they get the answer. They don't even know you did it. Your prayers, I mean, God did it. But great is your reward in heaven.
Amen.
God sees in secret. He'll reward you openly.
Amen.
You are David's type. It is time for you to pray. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much power, prayer, much power. Amen. Intercessory prayer.
Verse 22. And Saul said to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight.
Now, David had been going back and forth to his dad Jesse, but now he's got to completely leave. There's a time, sheep, that you have to be like David, his type. There's a time, and some of you, it's time right now. It's time for you to leave that place where you are, because God has called you. Every one of you are called in the full-time ministry. That doesn't mean you have to be a prophet, apostle, pastor, teacher, preacher. But your whole life is supposed to be about Jesus. Some of you have not yet done that. You got one foot in the world and one foot in God. All to Jesus you surrender.
Amen.
All to Jesus. Every Christian is to be a minister of reconciliation. Your full time. You've been doing part time. All 24/7. I serve you. Here am I, Lord. All to Jesus I surrender. That's David's type. You're David's type.
Verse 23. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, David took an harp and played with his hand.
Your heart has heart strings. You care. And you reach out to that other sheep. And you want to help their heart with your heart strings of love, sheep.
So Saul was refreshed.
Saul was refreshed. Proverbs says, he that refreshes others, himself shall be refreshed. Remember God's law of reciprocity. David's going to need that. He's going to need refreshing. Why don't you get up every morning and say, I am an air freshener. Ask the Lord, tell me today, who needs a telephone call to say I love you? I'm with you. I feel your pain. I'm crying with you. Who needs a rose, a flower? Who needs a drive around the block to get out of the walls? You refresh others, you'll be refreshed. But if you don't ever refresh others, you're not going to have any refreshment. David is that type. He refreshed others. You're David's type.
I was well, and the evil spirit departed from him.
You are David's type. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my good friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm refreshed, Miss Sherry. That was awesome.
It was awesome.
That was a really good word.
The word is awesome. David left his stuff in the cart. We're going to get to that. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Absolutely Amen. Beautiful. Great, Scott. Perfect. Thank you. Before I pray for healing, let's pray for salvation. If you're not saved, pray this prayer with me. Mean it with all your heart, and God will save you. But remember, You have to stay saved. You have to endure to the end. You don't fall off like Saul did. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I change my mind.
I change my mind.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Forgive all my sins.
Forgive all my sins.
Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Tell me where to go to church.
Tell me where to go to church.
And make me usable.
And make me usable.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
That Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Now for those of you in cyberspace, the book of Romans says, with the mouth confession is made of salvation. You need to tell a lot of people. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, Scott will give you my telephone number. Feel free to call that number. I invite you to. That's my voicemail. Leave your confession. When I get it, I'll pray for you. And welcome to the family of God. In a moment, I'm going to give you my email. You may email me also. For all new Christians, get yourself a Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. I suggest the King James Bible because it is the only version that you can trace almost every word in it back to the original Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Chaldee, and Syriac, the way God wrote it, and you want to have it perfect. Then what you want to do is read that Bible every day. Read a lot of it. And then you want to pray now, Father, in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is your password. You don't call him God anymore. You're his child. Have a time and a place that you pray every day in your home. Nobody there, no music, no dogs. But God, keep an atmosphere of prayer, but develop your prayer life. And then you want to go to church every time the door opens. The Sabbath services, Sunday or Saturday, and midweek services. Find a church that teaches God's word one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Why? Because the Bible tells you to. Paul says, read this epistle in the church. Isaiah 28 says, line by line, line by line. Now, what you want to do is make sure also that the Holy Spirit's there. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. There are many people that say they're reading the Bible. They are, but there's no Spirit. And there's no anointing. And then it's dead. It just goes out the window. And you don't learn how to pray. And you don't know how to do anything because the power is in the Spirit. The word must be anointed by the Holy Spirit. And make sure that they offer the gifts of Holy Spirit, especially prayer for healing, the language of Heavenly Spirit, because that teaches you how to pray. All of those nine gifts really operating there. And you want to be faithful. Go every time the door opens and you will grow in grace. And welcome to the family of God. Here's my email. You may email me not only your confession of faith, but your questions, your prayer requests, your praise reports. You can tell me you love me. I love you. Here's my email. S-H-A-R-I Medlock. TrumpetOfTruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock. TrumpetOfTruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. Now for healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ took 39 stripes on his back. We put in your remembrance of your word, Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24. With your stripes we were healed, with your stripes we are healed. And Father, you said in Psalm 107:20, you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Father, you said in Jeremiah 30, verse 17, I will restore health to you. I will heal you of your wounds. And Father, you said in Malachi 4. To those that fear your name, love your name is the word of God, the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. So wherever your sickness is, believe and receive. Right now, kidney diseases. He sent his word and healed you. Bowel disorders. He sent his word and healed you. Fever, move. Inflammation, move. Virus, be gone. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Nervousness, sweaty hands, be gone. The palms, be dry. That's a symbol of nervousness. Be at peace. You don't have to be nervous anymore. Lungs, be healed. Cancer, be gone. Allergies, be gone. Hernias, be gone. Fibromyalgia, be gone. Scoliosis, be gone. Headaches, be gone. Blood pressure, too high, come down. Too low, come up. Perfect circulation. Perfect assimilation. Perfect elimination. No overaction or inaction. He makes your bones strong. You run, you're not weary. You walk, you're not faint. Now, faith is an act. Pick up your bed and act. Pick up your bed and walk. And we all say, with Jesus' stripes, I am healed.
With Jesus' stripes, I am healed.
I agree in Jesus' name.
I agree in Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. I've just told you a truth. If you would apply it, it would change your life for the better. I would give you great rewards in the eternal life hereafter. But your best friend is Jesus. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. I love you too. Everybody in here, all over the world, new friends, I love you. I feel your spirit. And I'm looking forward to next time when you and I all over the world get together to hear the joyful sound as a family of God of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
the Trumpet very best of contemporary Truth. Contemporary Christian music, 91.5 FM. WMIE.
Hi, everyone. I'm Danny Whiting, the new general manager for FM radio station WMIE 91.5, and it's time for our semi-annual fundraiser. Offering this year's appeal will begin Monday, April 17th, and continue through April 24th. I hope that you will prayerfully consider making a donation to WMIE's radio ministry so that we can continue to bring you sound preaching, Bible teaching, and worship music through the airways. You can send your donations via mail to WMIE 1150 West King Street, Cocoa, Florida 32922, or you can call us with your pledge at 321-632-1000. And we'll take your information over the phone, or even more convenient, you can go to WMIEFM.com and click on the donate to make your donation. Thank you, and God bless.
saw